Good morning. I'm going to try not to bore you since it's right before lunch and I'm the last speaker. I don't have nearly as many pretty pictures or bar graphs or anything to show, so I hope that you were engaged throughout this whole process. Nonetheless, I'm presenting today a qualitative analysis of youth's corner store shopping behaviors. And before I get started, I'm supposed to actually read the statement as everyone else did. So I actually have no personal financial relationships with any commercial interests relevant to this presentation that existed during the past 12 months or any time before then, actually. I would like to give a special thanks to a few key individuals who assisted with the data collection as well as the analysis of this study: Gabrielle Grohl, Stephanie Vandeveur, Alexis Wojnarowski, Dr. Gary Foster, Brianna Sandoval, and Sandra Sherman. And there are two other individuals who are very key, our statistician, whose name isn't on the slide, Dr. Kelly Bordell, as well as Robbie Chala. So the research that I'm presenting today is based off of the Healthy Corner Store Initiative, which is a school-based study that I'll go a little bit more in depth about in a few more slides. But before I get into the depth of our research, I thought it would be really important for us to understand a few key concepts first, which are: what is a corner store? What does the typical environmental landscape look like for a child attending public school in Philadelphia? What is the relationship between a corner store and a Philadelphia public school? As well as, what is the competitive arena for corner stores in the urban landscape of Philadelphia? And what is the role of a corner store in Philadelphia overall? So let's start by looking at the definition of a corner store. I often get in conversations with individuals who are like, oh yeah, I understand, it's just like a Wawa or 7-Eleven. But it isn't in any way. So first I'm going to address what a corner store isn't. So it is not a convenience store. It's not a grocery store. You can't get a bonus Club Savers card and shop at the corner store. You can't redeem coupons. There's no way to catch a weekly sale at a corner store. And it's typically not a place where you're going to find fresh produce or meats or any other sort of nutritious food. But it's also not the enemy. And the reason why it's not the enemy is because a corner store is a community-based mom-and-pop shop. So it's a key venue to actually present any sort of intervention in the community because it is a community-based store. And for a lot of our cultural neighborhoods, it's a way that you can intervene by introducing culturally relevant food items at a local level. It's also a main source of food, beverage, and household items with a focus on prepackaged, nutritionally dense, and calorically high products, which allows for the products to be cheap. But most of the products, although they are cheap, there still are some items that are not cheap simply because it's not a grocery store and you can't cut sales. For example, a box of cereal at a corner store would be about $5, where if you go to a grocery store, you could catch them on sale for 2 for $5 or 2 for $4. These are a few items that typically our students purchase at corner stores. So you can see, you really can't see the size of these hoagies and cheesesteaks. I'm from Philadelphia, so we eat hoagies and cheesesteaks. Nonetheless, and a hoagie is not a sub. I get into that conversation a lot as well. So you see they range in price from $1.75 to $3 for a hoagie or this cheesesteak, which is a warm meat sandwich, which is pretty amazing because you're not going to find these sorts of items for these prices at a Wawa, at a 7-Eleven, or anywhere else, not even your home. Nonetheless, so you have these prepared food items. You also have, there's a honey bun, which is in the far back section, 500 calories, and it's only 50 cents. So it's really easy to get a lot of calories in for a really cheap price at a corner store, which is my purpose of showing you that slide. Now the hug, I awarded it the most popular beverage, and the reason why is because it's 25 cents. So I have a dollar, I'm a child, I'm shopping at the corner store. Just going back to the slide we were at before, that honey bun that I showed you, 50 cents. This hug is 25 cents. I've already spent 75 cents. Haven't spent a dollar, but if I wanted to, I could also buy some candy, all for a dollar. Where else in the world will you actually be able to buy that many items for under a dollar or at a dollar? And these are a few other snack items. You see these are some crackers and some granola bars, priced at 25 cents. Yet again, this is a popular price for corner stores. You can see who they're targeting: children, who often shop around with a few dollars or a few coins. Nonetheless, let's look at the environmental landscape for Philadelphia public school students. On the way to school or on the way home from school, most of our students in our study would pass by corner stores, pizza shops, Chinese food eateries. There are a lot of unsafe streets in the urban landscape of Philadelphia, which often calls for alternate routes to and from school. There are abandoned homes, other neighborhood schools, which often have students who are either of a higher grade level or a lower grade level, which adds the dynamics of before and after school time, traveling. And then occasionally there might be a community center, which is not that common in Philadelphia. They, for some reason, thought it would be a good idea to close a lot of them down. I don't really know why. The relationships between a corner store and a Philadelphia public school. It's really important to understand that corner stores usually are directly across the street from a school or within 1 to 3 blocks away from the school. It's really convenient. I pose the question to myself, sort of like what came first, the chicken or the egg? What came first, the school or the store? It's obvious that the school was there first because most of our schools were built in the early 1900s. So if I were a store owner and I noticed there was a school there, I might just take the opportunity and knowing and understanding shopping patterns in these urban areas. Most public school students have at least 3 corner stores to choose from for their morning and afternoon shopping. It's a lot of options. Most corner stores open at 8 o'clock in the morning, which is 30 minutes before most of the school time starts for our K through 8 grades. For our high school grades, school starts a little earlier. And in those areas, there still are corner stores. They're just a little bit different in terms of what they offer and, of course, in terms of the times that they open. What's in competition for corner stores in the urban landscape of Philadelphia? Obviously, if I'm a corner store owner, I'm in competition with another corner store owner. So you have corner stores competing with one another. There's also the competition with pizza shops, Chinese food eateries, fast food chain restaurants. Those three entities, the pizza shops, Chinese food eateries, and fast food chain restaurants, typically are not open in the morning. So in the morning, there's sort of an open market for corner stores because most of these other restaurants, if you will, are not open. There's also school-provided meals and snack items from the district, which are controlled, so it's not something that a school itself can select or children themselves can select. They don't have a menu option for the day. It's whatever is set before them for breakfast and for lunch. Then there's school-provided meals and snack items that is school-based, so you have a lot of schools that introduce fundraisers for the basketball team, so they may be selling a pizza and french fries during lunchtime or pretzels in the morning. A lot of Philadelphia public schools, which is also another Philadelphia food item, pretzels. So we love soft pretzels, which clearly are made out of nothing but dough. Nonetheless, so you have that sort of competition for corner store shopping in the morning as in the afternoon. And then you also have home. So you have the food items that a child would get from home. So recognizing the role of a corner store in Philadelphia, to bring this all together, if you will, corner stores are a staple in the urban landscape of Philadelphia. The reason why is because most of our communities in the urban environment in Philadelphia are food deserts. So by food desert, I'm not sure if everyone's familiar with that term. I was actually just thinking about it because it's not as though they're actual deserts in the sense of there's no food available. It's just that there's no nutritious food that's readily available in a lot of these communities. In corner stores, they offer an affordable and readily accessible option for consumers, with a particular market towards children, which we saw earlier as I pointed out the prices of a lot of the snack items. Our research study was known as the Healthy Corner Store Initiative, as I alluded to earlier. It was a community-based, multifaceted, and broad-based intervention. It was administered by the Food Trust at CORE, which is the Center for Obesity Research and Education. We actually evaluated the study. It was funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and it spanned for over 3 school years. The goal of the intervention was twofold. It was to decrease the purchase of high-caloric snack items and beverages while increasing the percentage of healthy beverages and items that would be available at stores. We conducted this study in 10 different Philadelphia public elementary schools, and we were in 20 corner stores that were in proximal location to the schools. We tracked students in grades 4 through 6 over those 3 school years. So we saw them matriculate from 4 through 6 to 6 through 7th grades. We conducted measurements by use of what we call intercepts. So our staff actually stood out in front of a store in the mornings and the afternoon before kids had to be at school and on their way home from school. As a child approached the store, we would ask them if we could speak with them on the way out. And at that point, we would not only ask them what they purchased, but we had to physically look at the items that they purchased at the store. That was really key because since there was an intervention that was being conducted in the schools, of course, our presence at the store could contribute to them perhaps wanting to not tell the full truth of what they purchased, since they know that they were supposed to be buying healthier food items. Nonetheless, we also collected BMI measurements to calculate BMI Z-scores, as well as questionnaires in the school where we asked a lot of questions that were similar to my colleagues on this panel in terms of how many meals do you eat in a day, do you eat school-provided lunch, do you eat lunch at all, who's providing you money to shop at the corner store, and a few other key questions. We conducted corner store inventories as well as 36 focus groups with 192 of our overall sample, which is what this analysis is based off of. So from the questionnaires and from the intercept surveys and from the BMI, it prompted us to look a little bit deeper into what was really going on. So we conducted focus groups because our research previously showed us that 50% of our youth were shopping at the corner store, spending on average per visit $1.07 and consuming 356 calories. Now that's per visit, and a visit consisted of either being in the morning or in the afternoon. We had a lot of our students, and I would say the majority of our students, shop twice in a day. So they would shop on their way to school and then again on their way home from school. The results of our focus group showed us that shopping at a corner store starts as early as pre-K, which in Philadelphia is somewhere between the ages of 3 and 4 years. And they did this with either a parent or an older sibling. But by the time they reach the second and third grades, they're now shopping alone. So they're going to the corner store. And one of the images that I often see in my mind is of this, I think he was definitely somewhere between kindergarten and first grade. And he went to the corner store and he had $20. He pulled out a $20 bill. He paid for some items that were probably no more than $1.50 and was about to walk away because I'm sure at age 5 or 6, maybe you don't really understand the value of $20 and that you get change when you pay $1.50. Nonetheless, most of our students reported shopping solely for snack items, although there were reports of our students shopping for lunch items or breakfast items. And when I say breakfast, I think it's really important that you understand. When our students were on their way to school with their breakfast items, their breakfast looked like a Mountain Dew, a honey bun, a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos, a bag of Doritos. So they're not walking to school eating pancakes or oatmeal and granola. It's not really real breakfast. It's just during breakfast time. We also learned about how and why students selected to shop at the stores that they would shop at. And children are really smart. You know, they're just adults, just a little shorter in most instances. They have the same sort of mindsets in a lot of cases. So they selected their stores based off of the items that a store would sell. So if they preferred a certain item and they knew that store A sold it, as opposed to store B, which might have been closer to them, they went to store A. Likewise, if they were concerned about location of the store, they would shop at one store versus the other. And they also were very much in tune with the prices. So in our focus groups, we learned, the students pointed out how, for example, one of our big brand of potato chips, our HERS company in Pennsylvania, they went from being 25 cents per bag to 35 cents. And the children actually noticed that. It wasn't something that the industry was able to just brush by overnight and them not even pay attention to it. Very infrequently, our students reported that they received any sort of parental guidance. And when they did receive it, it's very minimal. Just don't buy junk food, or you should save your money. But not necessarily save your money, don't shop at the corner store. Because as you can imagine, these children are not actually working jobs to get the money to shop at corner stores. The money is being provided to them. We also learned about their perception. So as a part of the intervention, we introduced two items. Those two items were our Snack and Fresh water as well as Snack and Fresh fruit salads. And Snack and Fresh was the branded program as a part of the intervention in the schools. But the children reported that if I can get water at home for free or at school, why should I pay for it at the store? So the water originally was priced at $1, and I mentioned earlier, for a dollar, you can get 3 to 4 items. So, as I said before, children are really smart. They're very savvy shoppers. Why pay a dollar for one item when I can use a dollar and I can get 3 items and get change back? And the same thing was perceived for the fruit salads. A fruit salad would be either a dollar or $2. And our students realized, hey, if I'm going to spend a dollar and I only get one item, whereas I can spend a dollar and get enough items to share with my friends, why buy it? Now, clearly, we know why water and fruit is definitely more important than buying a hug or a cheesesteak, but these were their perceptions. So, in conclusion, what we learned is that youth begin shopping at an early age. As I mentioned before, youth are savvy shoppers, and that understanding the nature of youth corner store shopping behaviors, this can help to inform interventions designed to improve overall the youth purchasing patterns at corner stores and in the corner store environment. And before I walk away, I just want to give recognition and share my appreciation for a few other individuals who helped with our research. Brian Dinehart, Cornell Davis, Heather Wilson, Maurice Denton, Megan Duffy, Swapna Mita, Taya Malone, Teresa Chen, and Tina Nguyen. Thank you.